Hello, everyone. My name is Adam Cross, and I am a licensed marriage and family therapist in Southern California. And today I want to talk to you about mind reading. I'm not talking about a mutant gene or superpower or anything like that. To be honest, I don't want to know what people are thinking. It's probably pretty chaotic. A lot of good, a lot of bad, a lot of ugly. But mind reading in the sense of kind of mental traps we can get in. And I think I've talked about this in previous videos. These are called cognitive distortions, right? So distortions in how we think. And I do like to think of them as kind of like potholes or pits that we get stuck in. So you imagine going down a road every day, maybe to work or school. And every single day you accidentally fall in the same hole, right? Whether it's kind of like a giant pit that you're stuck in and it's hard to get out of, or maybe it's just like a pothole and you know, your foot gets stuck, or, you know, you're like kind of up to your knee in some dirty water. It's not pleasant, and it keeps you from getting to where you want to go. Maybe you feel scared and stuck because you just fell in a hole, right? Great analogy. But we can do this mentally to ourselves all the time, daily. I do this, you know, often too, and I'm constantly trying to remind myself of, okay, yeah, you know, maybe that's not a helpful way to view things, or maybe I need to kind of change how I'm thinking there. What's behind that, right? So cognitive distortions or kind of mental traps we fall into are really common. And a big one is mind reading. And mind reading is simply this, is you assume what other people are thinking about you. You read their minds, although you can't. You don't have the ability, but you kind of pretend to. And you think, oh man, that person probably hates me. Or, you know, something I encounter a lot is, you know, mom's really angry today. I probably did something to upset her. And it's like, well, hold up. What's the evidence? Is there evidence that mom is angry because of you? Now, maybe in the past, she has been angry at you. And so you see you're angry now and you're like, yep, it's me, right? Or, you know, that person over there, you know, they probably don't like me for some reason. Is there any evidence for that? Or is our negative kind of assumption, our default, to just assume something really negative about ourselves? So we can often have, when we mind read, this default negative thought or negative judgment about ourselves. And sometimes we can even tell ourselves, well, that person is thinking this about me. But if we slow it down and pause it, we're like, well, actually, I have no factual evidence that they are thinking that about me right now. But I am, in turn, kind of thinking that about myself. If I'm kind of pretending like, you know, or just really thinking like, hey, Bob doesn't like me, right? Maybe Bob thinks I'm stupid. Okay, is there any evidence that Bob thinks I'm stupid? No, I've never talked to him, or I've said two sentences to him. He seemed like a nice guy. Okay, so do I think I'm stupid? Why am I kind of projecting onto Bob that I'm stupid? So we can mind read, and it can often be a way that we are internally self-judging without noticing it. Now, there are times where, and I just want to validate, like where people do make comments and people are rude. And so we might have an idea of what they're thinking about us. And so I don't mean to invalidate that and say, your intuition is totally wrong and you're never really reading people right. That's not it. But I think the goal is we have to slow down kind of our thoughts and say, do I know what Bob's thinking? Even if Bob has been rude in the past or kind of made comments about me not being intelligent, which would be rude and hurtful, right? Frustrating. All valid. But right now, do I know what Bob's thinking? No, I don't. Okay. So if I kind of go down this rabbit hole of like, well, Bob thinks I'm stupid, and he probably thinks I'm stupid because I messed up on this and this happened last time. It's like all of a sudden, I am not present with Bob or anybody else. I am in my head. I am in this kind of negative thought, self-judgment loop in my head that anxiety loves to do. Anxiety loves to keep us up here, and it loves to keep us thinking about the what ifs, the worst case scenarios, the catastrophes. It stops us from being present. So these holes that we fall into, they prevent us from going where we want to go, really being in the present moment, right? The sacrament of the present moment, where God is working, God is asking you to be, is right here, right now. It prevents us from that. So we want to try to catch when we're mind reading. Am I assuming what people are thinking about me? You know, I don't know what he's thinking right now. Or I don't know what she's thinking right now. It's not helpful for me to kind of go down that what if scenario trail. How can I stay present? The other part of that
In addition to staying present, coming back to the moment, doing some deep breathing, grounding, right? Trying to refocus on what's in front of me. The other part of that we can really ask is, and you can do this in therapy or with a friend, or, you know, spiritual director, you know, someone who's going to support you in exploring this, but preferably a therapist, is to ask yourself, why do I do that? Why does my brain automatically go to the worst case scenario? And usually the answer is this: self-protection. I don't want to feel stupid. And so my brain, if it picks up on any cues, any familiar senses that someone might think I'm stupid from what I've experienced in the past, my brain's going to say, hey, Bob probably thinks you're stupid, right? Bob probably thinks you're dumb. Prepare for that. So if he actually said that to me right now, I wouldn't just be devastated. I wouldn't be like, whoa, Bob just like destroyed my world and my day, right? I would feel more prepared. So your anxiety can try to protect you by throwing all these worst case danger scenarios at you. What if this person says that? What if this person says that? What are you going to do? How are you going to respond? You're playing it out in your head. You're preparing for danger. But oftentimes in reality, there is no danger. Also, through the lens of faith, we have to remember that, I guess a couple things. What people think about us doesn't matter. St. Paul talks about this, 1 Corinthians chapter 4, right? I'm not concerned about the judgments of human courts, right? Or human tribunals. He doesn't care about what people have to say about them, about him, right? And he goes on to say, I don't even care what I think about myself, right? Let alone what other people think about me. Because the only one who has the final say about me is God, right? God is calling us a beloved child through baptism, right? Calling you a beloved child with whom he is well pleased. Doesn't matter what Bob thinks. If you're watching this and your name is Bob, I'm sorry. That's the first name I thought of. But we don't get to define other people, and other people don't get to define us. That is God alone who is doing that. And he has created you as a beloved child. We have to remember that. Mind reading and trying to guess what people are thinking largely isn't helpful. We have to remember too, through the lens of faith, that God is calling us to be present, right? God is calling us to stay here. And what that means, you know, again, is not worrying about the words that we're going to say to defend ourselves in the future. Right? Again, scripture talks about this, is, you know, we're called to rely on the Holy Spirit to give us the words, especially if we're in a position where we have to defend ourselves, right? Christ talks about, you know, God providing for the sparrows, right? For the lilies of the field. You know, I feel like sometimes that's a buzzword nowadays, where, you know, all these great worship songs and things are reminding us of that. But that's so true, is God is going to provide. And so we are called to really rely on that. And even mentally, are we relying on God? Or are we kind of in that mode of self-protection? Are we trying to assume what people are thinking and, you know, trying to prepare for that without maybe evidence? It prevents us from being present, prevents us from living as God wants us to live. Last thing I'll say too is self-protection isn't a bad thing. And so there can be real trauma, real brokenness, real fears that you've encountered that make it really hard to not self-protect and go into that defense mode. And so if you kind of jump to that catastrophizing, that assumption, you know, preparing for the worst, it's probably for a really good reason. And I don't want to invalidate that for you. I don't want to say, hey, don't be afraid, right? You have nothing to be afraid of. No, we live in a broken world. And I'm sure as a human being, if you're watching this, you have experienced brokenness and trauma and suffering. And so it helps as you're trying to stay present, as you're trying to acknowledge, okay, maybe it's not helpful for me to assume the worst about people or what they're thinking about me, right? To really also be doing your own work to examine those memories, experiences of suffering and trauma that make it hard to really assume the best in people, right? To really go to those dark places with Christ to examine what's going on there. So mind reading, assuming that people are thinking the worst about you with no evidence, it's a trap we can fall into. It's something that we can stay present with. It's something that we can remind ourselves of the truth of who we are in light of Christ. That's essential for our everyday living. And it's something that is calling us to look at those deeper wounds, that deeper brokenness that can be behind it. We're called to do that work. We're not called to do it alone. You don't have to do any of this alone. God is walking with you. God is putting people in your lives to help you, to support you through your church community, friends, people to pray with, and professionals,
right?
Seeking out a therapist, seeking out people to walk with you on this journey of healing. So I hope this helps. And please let me know if you have any comments or questions below. Hit that like and subscribe button, and I will see you next time. Thank you, and God bless. Bye.